Hi, good morning, Praise Center. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. Yes, I am at home, and this is the very first time I preach from home. Yes, because we are on lockdown stage 4 in Melbourne. So if you're not from Melbourne or Victoria, if you're watching from other countries, stage 4 means that we can only go to groceries, like one person can only go to groceries within 5 kilometers of their home. And only for 1 hour. And a lot other regulations. And government is putting a lot of fine, big, huge fine if you don't follow. But I guess the whole idea is we all trying to our best to put a stop in this. And, you know, hopefully we can see you guys face to face at church again. So one other thing that I learned from this pandemic, and what I really like, what Ruth is saying this morning to myself, and then Om Agus on Friday, our senior pastor, they told us, like, Ruth was saying, like, hey, it takes pandemic for God to spark a revival. And on Friday, Om Agus was saying, like, because of Stephen's martyrdom and the church back then, you know, it's a persecution, but God used the persecutions to actually spark a revival among the Christians, and the church is being extended just like right now. So we're being extended just beyond our doors, within our buildings. Now, like, I believe the churches can reach out the whole world like never before through the technology and all that. So let's keep hoping. And the other thing is that our church has just finished a church-wide fast, and I'm super excited. It was 3 days, but it was so impactful, and it's impacted my life, and I believe it impacted us as a church, Praise Center. Why don't you keep sharing to your friend what you got, what did you learn about, during the church-wide fast? I really like what Omar Goose, our pastor, said on Friday, that the church that changed the world is the church that follow and listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's get into it because I've got so much material. I'm so excited about this topic, and let's just go straight forward into this. Today, I am preaching about James chapter 2. Pastor Bram has already done the first week, faith is persevere, and then Ruth on the second week, faith, obedience, it's obey, and today I'm doing faith, love. So it's taken from James chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. Let's just read it out together. I'd like to invite you all to take out your Bible, open up your Bible, your apps, your physical Bible, and just jump into James chapter 2. I am reading from ESV. Come on, let's focus. You know, try to put away all your distraction and just read the Bible together with me. Okay, here we go. My brothers, the topic is called the sin of partiality. So, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man is in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, oh, why don't you sit over here? And then while you say to the other one who is poor, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. Have you not then made distinction among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heir of this kingdom, of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the one who oppress you and the one who drag you into court? Are they not the one who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you are really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. And are convicted by the law of transgressor, for whoever keeps the whole law but fail in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do not murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. mercy triumphs over judgments. So I went through it quite quickly because we're going to read it carefully. We're going to go deeper after this. So just bear in mind, because I'm preaching at home, if you hear KK might be screaming or whatever, let it flow. Be gracious to me and let Holy Spirit lead us, right? Let us pray. Father, I just want to say thank you for all your provision, for your kindness and for your mercy and your faithfulness. Thank you for this church. Thank you. Thank you that we can gather this morning to be here with you in your presence. Let us all stand and, you know, be present before you to see the majesty in all of your majesty. Thank you so much. Holy Spirit, why don't you please speak into our heart. We want to lean in. We want to open our heart. We want to lean in our heart unto you. We want to open our ears. Let your word become alive and bring conviction into our life. Because we truly believe that only you who is able to change a person. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys ready? Let's jump into it. Before we go to the points, I'd like to discuss a little bit about James the writer himself. Oh, by the way, my wife is here helping me with all the backstage kind of things, with all the camera and all that. Thank you, wife. So James the writer, I had a good discussion with our senior pastor, Om Agus and Tandalili, about James. And he was like teaching me a little bit about the background, the history of James. So this James, the writer of this book, actually is not James the disciple, but he is James, the half-brother of Jesus. And this James is the brother of Judas, the one who wrote the book of Judas. So yeah, it's really exciting. And in the beginning, James didn't really believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I was thinking about it. Hello, if your brother suddenly came to you and then say, hey, bro, you know what? I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I mean, you would be very surprised too, right? But then after Jesus took up the cross, Jesus encountered James. James encountered Jesus after the resurrections. And I think he was like George Robin in awe and something like that. And I believe that leads him believing that Jesus is the true Son of God, right? Let's go into it. This is a really good book, very straightforward and very practical too. All right, my first point, let's do this. Before we go to that point, I'm going to talk about favoritism or partiality. So I guess favoritism and partiality is a common issue, right? When I was asked to deliver this message, I thought, this could be interesting, because I thought, this is a very quite uncommon as well to discuss favoritism, this particular topic, even though we discuss about faith being love, right? And when I was young, I mean, I used to think like, I'm not that kind of guy who discriminate anyway. So I would mingle. I don't have any issues. I mean, dealings or mingling with people from different skin color, people from different social status. I don't mind. I enjoyed it. You know, I thought I'm not that kind of guy who have these issues. And maybe you might think the same way as well. So for some of you, maybe this topic is not that relevant for you or for myself. Because growing up, I don't really have that issues. I thought I would treat everybody equally, right? But then let me tell you this story, okay? A few years ago, I was in New York with my wife, and I was walking in Fifth Avenue, and then suddenly, I met this guy. Yes, Kobe Bryant. You know, my wife is a big fan of Kobe. And so I got a ticket. So I bought, before we left for America, I bought a ticket to watch the game, right? To watch the game between, it was a big game and it was really hard to get the tickets. And it's quite pricey as well, because it was a game between Lakers, the LA Lakers and the New York Knicks. And they're playing in a very famous Madison Square. So, and back then, during that time, both teams are at their prime, and they are so good. They were very, very good at that moment. In New York Knicks, you know how, you know, it's quite bad at the moment. But then, back then, it was like so good. They went to the finals and all that. And Carmelo Anthony was at prime. And then he was supposed to be face-to-face with Kobe Bryant in Madison Square. And I got a ticket. One funny thing is that, not so funny for me, I bought the ticket at the wrong time, at the wrong place, because I was mistaken with the dates. On the day of the game, I'm supposed to be in Washington. So I was supposed to leave for Washington from New York. And my wife told me, like, okay, if you couldn't want to watch the game, you can still watch the game. Without me, I'll be flying to Washington. You can stay in New York. Obviously, as being a husband, you have to follow your wife. Don't do that. So actually, I was really sad. I was very sad, but because I'm going to waste the ticket. But God is so gracious, right? I met Kobe Bryant. But my point is that when I was in the presence of Kobe Bryant, I remember clearly how I overreacted. Suddenly, I react uncontrollably. I can't keep myself composed. I don't know why. And I remember, hey, why am I doing this? What is happening to me? I was stuttering. I was saying things that I'm not supposed to say. I was trying to be cool, you know, with the accent, like, hey, bro, what's up? You out for the game tomorrow and all that? You know, yeah, it's not very cool at all. And then I was like literally shouting, like, Kobe, this is Kobe. And then I remember Kobe's wife, Vanessa, she looked at me and they said, I put a big smile and said, yes, this is Kobe. But I said, well, bro, can I take a picture with you? Just a quick one. But he said, like, hey dude, because I don't have my bodyguard, so sorry, I can't do that. And then I start to say something even worse. I told him, like, hey, you know what? All the best for the game tomorrow, bro. You know, all the best. Win the game, huh? In fact, I wasn't the fan of Lakers. I was a fan of New York Knicks. Why would I say that? Because I think I was just in awe of Kobe Bryant. So why would I choose? Partiality is in this topic of favoritism. Well, yeah, I'm a big fan. You know, this is such a common thing, and it happens everywhere, all around us. So I think when we talk about this topic, everyone is guilty somewhere, somehow. Let me show you another example. It happens in a family. Let me take you this example from the Bible. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. And it was a story where Samuel was told by God that you have to pick another king because Saul is not good. Okay, I know the people chose them because they're handsome, tall, and nobody is as strong as him and as handsome like him. But then God said, no, I want the new king. And this is going to be my choice now. And he asked Samuel to go into Jesse's house. And then in the presence of Jesse, Jesse is the father of David. And Jesse's father, look at this. This is very interesting. Jesse, on verse 10, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Seven of his sons passed before Samuel without David. Sorry. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Are you sure this is all you got? Because this is not them. And then watch this remark. And the father, Jesse, said, I've got another one. There's remained yet the youngest one, but you know, you're not going to like him. He doesn't suit to be a king. I don't think he's got that warrior look and all that. He's not that strong. He's like a baby boy, kind of beautiful kids. And he's just really good talking with sheep. So that's what pretty much they do. But look at how Samuel responded to this. And the Lord says, when David was brought in the presence of Samuel, and then Samuel said to Jesse and to everyone, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Bam! We look from the outward appearance, but God looked from the inside. He uses the weak and uses the poor, right? Well, in business, let's discuss another example. In business, I think it's so common that it's almost even like we are being trained to qualify people, to discriminate people, to, you know, practice partiality in our business. Because, you know, you are trained to qualify whether this guy, whether this guest really is the real deal. Are you sure he's the real deal? especially if you're talking about investment, do you think this guy will be able to invest? We are being trained to make that judgment or qualification so quickly and so good at it that we don't waste our time with the wrong people. So we know, okay, notice how they dress, the way they speak, or are they educated, or do you think in the first few seconds we can see whether they're wearing good stuff and what is driving and all that, with what kind of house they have. And all that. And if we are not being careful, we as a Christian especially, in the marketplace, we can be drawn into this trap. And that's really, really bad. Another example is that all the ladies who love the good brands like LV, Chanel, and Hermes. Talking about Hermes, like, you can't even buy the bag before. I mean, you have to, straight away, you have to collect all your credits, buy keychain first, please, small wallet first, and then you can buy the Birkin bags and all that. So you have to be worthy. You have to earn your worth to actually buy the bag. And, you know, going to the watch store, especially the expensive one, like Patek Philippe or Rolex, I often see the shop attendants. I was looking straight away. I think they're being trained to straight away check the guest's wrist. Looking at the wrist, what are they wearing? Oh, okay. If they're wearing some really common brands, maybe it's not worth serving them. So, because this is Rolex, you see. So this is a common thing, but James here, he actually pointed out that this also happened in the church. In the church. Imagine this story happening in the church back then and in the church nowadays. Let's go into it, right? I want you to come back to James chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. My first point is true faith in Christ. Let's go to the point. I only have 5 points, right? True faith in Christ show no partiality. That's the first point. A true faith in Christ show no partiality. My brother, show no partiality. Let's highlight this. Show no partiality or favoritism as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, is that if you truly say that you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will show no partiality. Don't tell me that you are a follower of Christ if you still practice favoritism. Wow, that was very blunt from James. And this is the word of God, right? So first of all, this is my first point in the first point, which is, first of all, favoritism is not right because God doesn't do that to you. God doesn't show partiality to us. So, if we hold faith in Christ, you ought to do the same to others. Because Christ receives everyone, loves everyone without discriminations. His love is unconditional because of his amazing love and the love of God towards the world. He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, for us to die on the cross and to save us. And we're talking about a really bad world we're living here that he loved. And who are we to judge these people even if the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, doesn't do that to us? That's my first point. So it's a really hot topic now in America. Now with the Black Lives Matter uprising, a lot of people, thousands and thousands of people, uproar in these issues all around the world, you know. But to me, I think favoritism and partiality, it goes beyond racism. It goes beyond the color of the skin. And it goes beyond your favorite football team, whether you are a supporter of Manchester United or a Barca. It goes beyond whether you're a big fan of LA Lakers or a New York Knicks. It goes beyond church denomination. It goes beyond school badges. It goes beyond university. It goes beyond your hobbies, your tastes, or preference. This is it. I think, let me just go to the quote that I wrote here. If when you think about other people being less than you, So if it is when you think about other people being less than you, you have already practiced favoritism or partialities. And I do believe this, that favoritism contradicts to what Jesus had accomplished on the cross. Period. And number two, wife, camera still okay? Yes, thank you so much. Because the first recording got really screwed up because it stopped halfway. I don't know why. So let's pray this one doesn't do that. Here we go. My second point is that favoritism, partiality, dishonor God. It dishonor God and disrespect people. Let's go to the word. From verse 5 to 7. Listen, my beloved brother, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heir to the kingdom? Let's just stop it in there. Right? This is amazing. Has not God himself, can't you see that God has chosen the poor and the lost to be rich in faith and the heir of this kingdom, right? That's why favoritism really dishonors God. Because if Jesus, even God himself, gave his life for everyone, and his love doesn't show any discriminations. In fact, through this passage, it tells that God came for the poor, the sick, and the lost. And he brought so many surprises until today. He still uses people who has been forgotten by the society or rejected by the society to show his glory. So thinking that he is better, she is better, you are better, I am better, really dishonor God. Because only he, God, who holds the status as the great God, the great almighty God, to whom where all the honor is due. Amen. We are supposed to stand in full awe of him, the Lord of majesty. That was the second point. Please write it down, church, before you forget. Our mind is not that smart. So that's the second point. Now, this is the third point. I still have a few points. Let's go through it faster. All right. The third point is this. Love others as yourself. All right. Love others as yourself. Let's read the verse. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you can read the rest of the passage. You go. And here we go. Another one. If you show partialities, you are committing sin and convicted by the law of transgressor. So, James is telling us, if you truly, you really have a true love, you have to love others as yourself. So really, you have to do what you want other people do to you. That's what Christ done. He has shown his true love. He became the role model to all of us. He asked us to do that, but he's shown us first. So if you really want other people to do this, favoritism is not consistent to this passage. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can do that if you practice partialities. So I have a story, just a quick one. Back then, I went to a store wanting to buy a present for Maggie. It was a female store, not for myself. Obviously, I was trying to surprise her on my own. And then I went to the store. I think the brand doesn't exist anymore. But this brand was known to be like quite snobby and that kind of the vibe that they bring, like I'm pretty and cute and you're not kind of thing. All right. But so buy my dress. I went there and I spoke to the shop attendants. I don't know whether they're being trained to be like that, but I show the dress and then I show my wife picture and I said, hey, I'm being nice. Like, do you think this dress will suit her? I want to really surprise her. And you will be surprised. I was so shocked with the reply. And she said, she told me like, well, I think it really depends whether she can pull it off because I think it looks good on me. And I was like so shocked. Seriously, whether she can pull it off. Well, anyway, I left the store and never come back. But I don't want people to do that to me. And obviously, my wife dislike people doing that to her. So let's not do things that you don't want people to do to us, right? So love others as yourself. The last point on this one is because we want to build bridges with people and not barriers. So through love, with no partialities, let's build bridges and not barriers. Point number four, very simple. Partiality is a sin, guys. Partiality is a sin. So the word, verse 10 and 11 says this, for whoever keeps the whole law but fail in one point, this point has become guilty of all of it. Put it in a simple word. You might say, I don't commit adultery, I don't kill people, I don't murder, but, well, favoritism every now and then, maybe, yeah. So, no, it's you can't run away. It's still a sin. So, if you think that favoritism is okay, no, it's not okay. Favoritism is a sin. James put it on this highlighted bang. It is the nature of sin, the nature of our flesh to judge and discriminate a person based on our physical eyes, right? So partiality is a form of pride. That's a short one, point number four. And let's go to point number five. Last point, church. I hope you're not too hungry for your lunch. So point number five, write it down. So it's this one. True love is intentional. I really believe that true love is intentional. Intentional love. Verse 12 and verse 13, last verse. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. I like to highlight so speak and so act. So speak and so act. So James is telling us that true love will translate into actions. Through everything that we do and everything that we say, it should reflect your love. And if you are contaminated by the favoritism and partiality, you will not be able to reflect a true kind of love that God has given us. Our motivations in our actions and our speaking can only fall into two categories. One, whether it's motivated by love or it can be motivated by evil. Right? And Omagus will continue to talk further about this from chapter 14 and on. And then it's from verse 14 and on, what I meant. And she's going to dig deep about that issues. And this is the verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16 and 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life. This proof of love is that he laid down his life. And we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. If you truly love, lay down our life to your brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and see his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? This is another affirming to what we have discussed. If you really have the true love, show it to them. Action on it. Do it. Because if you see something that they need and you have it, but you don't do it, it's not right. So, church, those are the 5 points that I have today. Let me just read it out to you again so you can write it down, okay? Favoritism. Number one, favoritism. True faith in Christ doesn't show favoritism. That's point number one. Number two, favoritism. Dishonor God and disrespect other people. Number three, love other as yourself, because we want to create bridges rather than barriers. And favoritism and partiality is a sin. That was number four. Number five is true love is intentional. So now you might ask these questions like, okay, Ivan, I get it, all right? So we shall not practice favoritism, and we have to show our love to other people. But we are on a lockdown now. What can I do? I want to love others, but we are on a lockdown. We can't even go out. But I mean, like, this is the thing that's why I use the word intentional, because I believe that intentional love is unstoppable. Because right now, I think there are so many means that you can use for you to express your love to many other people. You can call someone, you can have a Zoom chat, you can care someone that you never cared before. And you can even send gifts, food, money, or videos, messages, encouragement to a lot of people. And I really like what Omar Gus said on Friday. And he said like this, as a church, why don't we stop crying out to God, asking when is this going to be over? When is this going to be stopped? But rather, pray center, why don't we ask God, what can we do now in the midst of crisis? That was very powerful, Omar Gus. And I'd like to challenge you, church, whoever watching, wherever you are right now, why don't you be intentional in your love, in the way you love, just like the way Jesus did and Jesus do. Because he expresses love by sending his son. So being intentional means you have an agenda. Why don't we do this as a church? Say every Saturday, set a time, ask God, ask that prayer, God, who should I bless this week? Why don't we ask him, who can we bless during this crisis? God will point to someone, to anyone, to people without discriminations. Maybe you'll set a time every Saturday at 10 a.m. in the morning. You might want to, every 10 a.m., you will pray for someone and then you will send message to that person or even send gift to that person. Let's do that challenge, church. Let me conclude you with this. When we talk about partiality, everyone is guilty. We need God, we need Holy Spirit to renew our mind and His Word to bring conviction into our daily life. This is what I wrote on the screen. God will guide us towards whoever He wishes to use without discrimination. Sorry, that was from the previous one. This is the one. We must first experience His true love before we can truly love others. So we need to experience His love, His true love first, before we can do the same to others. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us to love other people just like the way He loves us. So my story, my journey to salvation, Omar Gus and Tante Lily, asked a group of people, because I wasn't a Christian back then. And when I arrived in Australia, Omar Gus and Tante Lily asked, because my parents knew Tante Lily's sister, and Omar Gus asked a group of people who are very much different to me to reach out to me, to reach out to my life. You know, we are so different. We even speak differently. We have different hobbies. They love to study and I don't, or I didn't at least. Even the way they express things, the way they dress, were very different. In the context of partiality, they too might not be comfortable dealing with me. But then, especially, I wasn't a believer back then and it makes it really, really worse. But God used them. Cut the story short, they were the one who led me to this church, my beloved church, and led me to Christ. I observe how blunt James wrote this book, very practical and very blunt. And I was pondering, imagining about his journey. I think when James heard that Jesus, his half brother, took up the cross, declaring that he was doing it for all mankind out of love to save them. Remember, James didn't even believe that Jesus was the son of God. Probably he was thinking like, my brother is crazy. Why he want to do that? It's just crazy. But then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to James. And I believe that incident led to James believing that Jesus is the true son of God. And I believe things going through his mind like, wow, I saw him dead and he resurrected. He must be the son of God. He is the true son of God. Why would he do this to all mankind, to this world, to this bad and ugly world? This must be the true kind of love. And that's why he was very blunt speaking about love, talking about partialities, because our King of Kings, our Lord, doesn't show partialities. And he gave his life, that cross, for everyone. Without discriminations. So wherever you are right now, as you're listening to this, there is a God. I want to tell you this morning that there is a God. a king who died for us, God himself, even while we were still sinners. He doesn't show discriminations, whether you are poor, whether you are rich, whether you are healthy, or whether you are sick, whether you are accepted or whether you are rejected by the society. He loves us all. So this is a good news. And I'd like to invite you all, especially if you don't know him yet, if you don't know there's this kind of God, this kind of love, I'd like to invite you to open your heart and pray this prayer together with me. He is here for you, and I believe that he's there right now, reaching out to you at your very home, touching every heart right now. Just open your heart as you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice, for the salvation, for your unconditional love, that you will love us though we are so bad and we are sinners. And this morning, we want to receive you. We want to declare and we want to receive you as our Savior and the Lord of our life. We want to confess. We want to confess our sin. And we want to invite you to rule over our life as the Lord of Lords. And from today's on, I believe that my life will never be the same again. We'll allow you to change whatever you want to change. Thank you so much, Jesus. We surrender our life into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you pray this prayer, this is a great news. The heaven is rejoicing and we are rejoicing. Reach out to us. The ushers will send you the link and we'll reach out to you as well because we want to be connected and grow together with you. And for the rest of you and for all of us, the followers of Jesus, today we have learned that practice no favoritism. Express your intentional love without partialities. God bless you. I'll see you next week. We love you.